Welcome to Planning for Tomorrow. We take life's most difficult questions, concerns, and challenges and turn them into manageable nuggets of information so that you can make the best decisions when you are planning for tomorrow. You can contact us at pftradio@gmail.com. You can check us out on Facebook, Planning for Tomorrow Radio, or if you're calling from the local listening area, 304-399-8255, or long distance, 877-420-8255. Well, good morning and welcome to Planning for Tomorrow. Fred Kitchen and Gene Dean here in the studio with you at Kindred Communications. And Gene, good morning. How are you?
I am fine, Fred. I'm really good. The sun is shining and...
That's a good day, isn't it?
And I've got a friend sitting next to me and one across the table
from me. Hey, that's a good day. When you're surrounded by friends, that's a good day, isn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly.
You know, I want to take just a quick minute, and as we always do, and talk to our listeners a little bit about our website, the pftradio.com website being used. It's kind of really blown our mind how well it has been used. Over 25,000 unique visitors to that site in a little over a year. So we're pretty impressed with that. But we've got a lot of good information on there, a lot of documents that's made available for people to download as PDF files. All the podcasts of the radio shows are there to download. So there's just a lot of good information. And anytime that we have guests on the show and they have information that they can share, you know, we're happy to put that on there also. So be sure and check that pftradio.com website out. A lot of good information there. And, you know, Gene, we have covered a lot of different subject matter on the show. And, you know, the show is about planning. And we've talked a lot about end-of-life planning. And I think today the guest that we're going to have is still kind of touching on the subject of end-of-life. It's another, I guess what we would call our golden years. We hope that are golden and not full of rust.
Exactly.
Yeah. But today our guest that we have with us, and you mentioned again is a friend, is Ron Bates. Ron is owner of ZBA Financial Group. And he's been in the business for 35 years plus, and we're going to talk about retirement today. And it's Ron Bates, the retirement guy. Ron Bates, the retirement guy, ZBA Financial Group, LLC. And Ron, good to have you on the show with us today.
Thanks for having me here.
Absolutely. When I call Ron a friend, it's a friendship that goes back many years to...
You want to share how many?
Well, yes, I will.
I think it was like, what, 32 years, did you
years.
Say?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We were both serving on the board of the Children's Place in Guyandot, and that's how we first met.
And then we circled back around at the city.
That's right.
We worked together at the city when you were tenure of mayor. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, absolutely.
32 years of friendship. That means you guys must have been about 40 when you met.
Well,
excuse me. Let's go back a little bit.
Oh, I'm saying.
When Gene walked in this morning, I almost stuck my foot in my mouth, and I did. I said, hi, old friend.
You never started that.
I should have said, hi, long-time friend. So,
Well, let's see. We go back. Maybe we were about 30, perhaps, when we met.
That's what I was thinking, 30. Right. Yeah, there you go. I was thinking like 7, and then you had the 32 onto that.
You know, I heard something which surprised me the other day. In fact, I had Ernie to check it out. But in all the talk about the Vatican and selecting the new pope, it said, referring to the cardinals, those who are of the age to vote. And I thought, I wonder what that means. Does that mean they have to be at least 50 or 60 or whatever? Ernie researched and found out that once they reach the age of 80, they're no longer eligible to vote.
They lose some privleges.
Yeah, that's right.
Anyway,
we're old friends.
It's a thrill to have you on the show today, and we really appreciate you being here. I want to ask you a quick question here, and we'll kind of start things off with this. Tell us a little bit how you got involved in the retirement business. I think that's always interesting to know before we get into the nuts and bolts of some questions here. But how did you get into the retirement business?
Actually, about 5 years ago, I started having people, myself being 60 years old, I started to have people that I'd grown up with that were 55 years old and eligible for early retirement or retire as a teacher or retire from a factory or whatever. And they've come up to me and say, I'm getting ready to retire. What am I supposed to do? Mm-hmm. And most of my career has been spent in mostly employee benefits, working with businesses, large companies and small companies. Then I've done life insurance over the years, and I've done some investments. So I got curious and went to the old Internet, and I found a book on the Internet called How to Retire Happy.
Wow, that's a good title.
Well, I'll tell you, it was written by Stan Hendon, who was a writer for the Washington Post.
Oh.
He was a financial writer,
uh-huh.
And it was kind of interesting when I read his bio and everything about him when I bought the book. He said what happened was when I got ready to retire, he said I didn't know what to do.
Uh-huh.
Well, here's a writer for the newspaper talking about financial planning. Well, he had to gather a team of people together to show him how to retire. So the Post said, why don't you go ahead and write a book on how to retire? And so he wrote a book called The 12 Most Important Things That You Need to Know About Retirement Planning. And so I got together with some people here in Huntington, and we talked to Mr. Hendon about using the title to the book, and then we had to get permission from the publisher for me to be able to use How to Retire Happy as a theme.
Uh-huh.
And it's been great. People, it's the most gratifying thing I've done. And
really?
There's another side to it that I won't go into today, but I belong to a company, an organization called Halftime. Halftime is a spiritual business coaching organization, and they do a program called Halftime. And Halftime is taking success to significance. And that's what I feel I'm doing here after finding out that people are absolutely do not know what to do about retirement. My typical person that walks in, Fred, and I told you I could talk for an hour. You don't need the checklist.
Okay. Well,
yeah. You know, I tell you, there's a guy named Bob Froehlke. He was the he was head of investments for the Hartford Insurance Company, and I got to read and meet and follow him a little bit. And he said, you know, Ron, he said, I'd look back over the past 35 years that I've been doing this business, and he said, if I had advice for anybody, you need to do two things. You need to find a good financial planner, and you need to find a good physician. Mm-hmm. There are two things that we worry about in life. We worry about money, and we worry about our health.
Health, that's right.
Well, that was one of the questions I wanted to ask you. Is that the biggest concern of people? How can I afford to retire? A lot of people think that they cannot.
Right. Well, and, you know, something that I hear, Ron, I've heard a lot lately, is some, of, especially among some of the baby boomers, is, am I going to outlive my money?
You know, well, that's the number one. Yeah.
we'll talk about that.
Yeah,
but I mean,
yeah,
you know, that's definitely something that's a concern. So, hey, before we get into that, can we take just a quick break here? And we'll come back. We're listening. We're talking to Ron Bates, the retirement guy. Talking about a whole bunch of different retirement things. So if you're listening, you got any questions, you can give us a call today if you'd like. And, Gene, let's give them those numbers where they can call.
Okay. The numbers are 304-399-8255 or 1-877-420-8255. Give us a call.
All right. You're listening to Super Talk, 94.1 FM and AM 930. And we are back to Planning for Tomorrow. Fred Kitchen and Gene Dean here in the studio with you. And we've got Ron Bates, the retirement guy, with us today. He's with ZBA Financial Group. And when we left, Ron, we were kind of taking a different direction there. We were starting to talk about, I mentioned the baby boomers and a lot of conversation that I've had with different individuals that, you know, they have retired. And now they're looking at, you know, am I going to outlive my money? Because we were talking about two most important things, health. Our health is important to us. And then, you know, are we going to have enough money to even to live on once we retire? So I guess my next question to you would be, for the people that are sitting there thinking and listening today, can I even afford to retire? I mean, that's one of the things that a lot of people are going to think about. You know, I mean, I'm at maybe the coming to the end of my employment, wherever I'm at, whatever I'm doing, and I'm thinking, you know, I'd like to just enjoy myself and enjoy my family. But can I afford to do this?
Yeah, and if you're lucky, you may have a pension, and then you think, well, how much am I going to get from Social Security?
How much am I going to have to adjust my lifestyle? That's got to be a big one there, also. Okay.
Exactly. How do you answer those questions, Ron?
Well, he already stole part of my answer. y'all don't need me here.
All right, thank you.
Yeah,
show's
thank
over.
You.
Goodbye.
Fred, you hit the key word. Retirement is all about three things. One is lifestyle, the second is lifestyle, and the third is lifestyle.
Wow.
Okay. That is the first thing I talk to people about. Actually, when people come to see me, they're not allowed to bring any papers with them.
Really?
No, no. We just sat and talked.
Surprising.
Yeah. No, no. Jane, paper, the numbers come in the end. The hardest part about my job in doing the, I do a, what I call a holistic approach to retirement planning. You know, we cover Social Security, we cover pensions, we cover 401ks, we cover long-term care, mm-hmm. we cover life insurance and retirement. We have some people want to give money away. So, you know, I cover everything for them to make sure that they have a complete picture. I'm not really an investment person per se. I don't really manage money. I'm a retirement income specialist. It's a very new thing. And why is it new? Well, because last year was the first year the baby boomers were eligible for retirement. So I don't know how many people die a day, Fred, but I do know that 10,000 people a day now are eligible for retirement.
Yeah. Okay.
So you've got this whole group of people out there that are looking around saying, what do I do?
That's a big number, Gene.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it is.
10,000 people a day.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
So,
and we're talking about what age for retirement? You're talking 65?
62 here? Actually is, okay. Yeah, when the first baby boomer became eligible for Social Security.
Okay.
Yeah, about a year and a half
and
ago.
And so, you know, something you got to think about that I think about as part of that is some of those individuals that are, the word you used there was eligible to retire, which means they could retire if they wanted to.
Yeah.
But then there's going to be some of that group probably that's been forced.
Oh yeah, I
retirement.
Get, yeah.
Well, and that's going to be tough.
Yeah. Well, you know, talking about the lifestyle and how, you know, can I afford to retire? You know, I think of one couple that came to see me, and he's an old friend of mine. And he said, "Hey, Bates," he says, "man," he said, "I've had enough. You know, I'm tired. I don't want to do this job anymore. Can you help me to retire?" And his wife said, "I don't think he can pull this off, but let's go see him." So, about a half a dozen meetings, you know, we talked about their lifestyle and how we're going to generate income and so forth.
Do you talk about the lifestyle after they retire?
After they retire, yeah.
Yeah. Do a lot of people think, well, I just want to sit back and relax and, or, I mean.
It's pretty much across the board. The biggest thing is that, you know, you remember when Social Security started,
no, I don't go back.
Oh, no, long. I mean, I don't. listeners, I'm talking to you, not to Miss Dean. So, anyhow, Social Security is great. I mean, but it was originally designed to last people for 3 years because life expectancy at that time, Fred, as you know, was probably 68.
Yeah.
You know, now we're up in the 80s.
Yeah.
So, the most important thing that I do is convincing people. That or making them understand you're probably going to live another 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And
people are living longer.
Oh, yeah. We structure income to meet that. So, it's quite a challenge to put these plans together. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
You mentioned something there. You were talking about Social Security and all the different planning that you do with people. When should somebody apply for Social Security if they're doing retirement?
Before they retire?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, once again, you know, if you apply for take Social Security at age 62, mm-hmm. you're limited on the amount of income that you can earn.
Yeah, it's reduced for
you. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Fred, I appreciate that question, but I'm going to answer that in a different way. I have a thing called the Retirement Red Zone.
Okay.
The Retirement Red Zone is pretty much 5 years before you retire or about 1 or 2 years after you retire.
Okay.
Lots of times people still have money to last after retirement. So, you know, I encourage people, of course, to at least 5 years ahead, 5 years ahead of time to talk with someone and say, okay, where do we want to go from here? Because Social Security is not that easy. I mean, you know, you are allowed to collect it starting at age 62, but every month, every year that you wait, of course, your benefit grows.
How old do you have to be before you get the full amount to which you're entitled?
Between 65 and 66.
Okay.
And that's the most. But you can wait to 70. And that is the maximum amount.
So at that age, you don't have to necessarily take your Social Security. You can set on that for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah,
probably a good idea if you have other income. Like
it is, and that's part of the things we do. Mm-hmm. We look at what age you want to take Social Security.
Are things that the average person's not going to know, but somebody like you could definitely guide them along. Because, I mean, I wouldn't have known that.
Well, once again, it's a total approach I use.
Right.
You know, I have a thing that... I have a 5-step process that we use, and that first step is understanding the person.
Yeah.
And that takes a long, long time.
We have a caller on the phone. We have Pat, Pat, are you with us?
Yes, good morning, Fred.
Hey, good morning.
Do you have a question, Fred?
I do. I do bankruptcies for a living at a law office here in town. And one of the things I see are grandmothers who end up maxing out their credit cards after they retire because they can't keep their children and grandchildren away from them. Do you have any advice for how to protect our senior citizens from children and grandchildren who, you know, who just bleed them dry, max out every credit card they have, and then they end up coming to see me?
You know what?
I see that a lot more often than
I mean, and I'll let Ron jump in there, but to me that seems like a societal issue to a certain extent. I mean, you know, you're looking at it going, and I see it, I think we all see it, you know, in the culture we live in, where kids will and grandkids will move in with parents. I mean, you know, you got 50, 60-year-old kids that are still living with mom and dad and not working. You know, there's definitely something wrong with that situation. I don't know that there's always, gosh, I don't know that there's an easy fix for that, Pat. But, you know, I mean, it's one of those things that, and I'm going to step out on a limb here and probably say something that some may not agree with, but, you know, sometimes it comes down to tough love. I mean, sometimes you've got to just say, no, you know, we're not, grandma's not doing that anymore, and that's tough. But there comes a point in time when you got to shove that bird out of the nest, whether it's a grandchild or whatever, and they've got to learn to make it on their own. And you know, the thing of it is, when we get into a situation where we dig ourselves into a financial hole and we allow someone else that are in that situation that are just going to continue to draw all off of us, and we continue to give to them, we become enablers to their problems that they have, I think.
Exactly. But, grandmothers are an easy touch, I guess,
they
for
are.
Grandchildren. I'm just wondering what Pat tells them. Do you meet with them, Pat?
I do, and I tell them, you know, one, it's like, you know, usually, you know, sorry to say, it's, you know, it's to beat someone's drug habit.
Oh, yeah, we see that a lot.
You know, I just don't know if there's some way to educate senior, you know, if there would be some way to educate seniors to the dangers of that and how you're not really helping. But a lot of these retirees, especially, you know, I'll have a grandmother after her husband has passed away, and the grandkids just come in and just,
it's sad.
You know,
it's sad.
Like, how did you do this?
Pat, I'm sorry. That is totally out of my sweet spot there. Most of the people I work with, I can honestly say, want to do something for their grandkids as opposed to beating a hat.
But they're in control of that situation of what they're doing to those grandkids.
It must be awfully difficult for Pat to handle a bankruptcy for a grandmother-age person who's maxed out the credit cards, or whose kids have maxed out the credit cards. So,
hey Pat, thanks. I'm sorry
we couldn't
be more helpful there, but I mean that is a tough societal issue. I think. But
thanks for calling, Pat.
Yes, sir.
Bye bye.
You know, I mean, that is tough. I mean, that's got to be, like you said, that's the good thing about the people that you're dealing with, is it's people saying, you know what, I want to do something for my kids. I want to do something for my grandkids. I want to leave a legacy.
Yeah, I hear those horror stories that Pat's talking about. I've not encountered them, but
But that goes back to a statement that's come up several times already this morning, is that, am I going to outlive my money?
Yeah.
And, you know, you think, am I going to have anything left to leave to grandchildren or children even?
Right.
So,
I guess you can. It is. The most important thing to remember is that everybody that comes in and sits down and talks to him is totally, totally different. There are not two people that are the same.
Right.
That's why I said it just takes so much time to understand what they want. But as Gene is saying, you know, am I going to outlive my money?
Right.
And I structure their money so that they would have money later on in retirement. I won't go into that right now. But, most people, we'll go into that later.
At the end of the day, it comes down to planning. I mean, we can't, for lack of better words, have some success by running by the seat of your pants.
Exactly.
You know, you definitely have to have a plan. You definitely need to have someone like you. Ron, that can actually sit down, and it sounded to me like what you was mentioning a minute ago, when you sit down with somebody, you're basically creating an analysis of their situation, their individual situation, those first few visits of here's what they want, here's what you'd like to have out of life after you retire. Here's what you've got now. Do you want a lifestyle that's equivalent? And here's some ways that we can do that. And then, like you said, it sounds like at the end, that's when you start applying numbers.
It is. Yeah. Well, after we figure it, get it all figured out, let me throw out a couple of thoughts that people really enjoy. The number one thought is the article I wrote for the newspaper a couple of weeks ago. It was called The Great Retirement Rethink.
Mm.
All right. First off, I tell people this is not your parents' retirement. 20 years ago, let's just say our parents retired 20 years ago, Gene, they had a pension from a factory or from the city or the state or wherever they had. They had Social Security. They had some savings, and they got their gold watch.
Yeah.
Well, their home was paid for.
Yeah.
They had no such thing as credit cards.
Mm-hmm.
So they knew exactly what they had. Since we're not on television, let me tell you a little bit about what my typical client looks like. I am old enough to remember the Ed Sullivan Show. I don't know how my audience is out there.
I've heard of that.
Okay, well, anyhow.
Now,
you can actually Google
it. I've YouTubed it.
You can Google this.
We're going to have to get back to this. It's beginning to sound really interesting.
Yeah, let's definitely get back to that. I think we need to touch back on that when we come back from break.
Yeah.
Ron, appreciate you being with us.
Thanks.
And we're going to take the next half hour, and we're going to dig a little deeper into this retirement thing and hopefully get some answers for our listeners and for all of us. You're listening to Super Talk 94.1 FM and AM 930. With ZBA Financial Group, located in Barbersville. And Ron, when we left for break, we were talking a little bit. Well, you were actually leading up to a story, and about the Ed Sullivan Show. Let's take back off right there.
Well, I'm sort of known for storytelling, and I think it presents a very good image since we have no television here. If you think back on the Ed Sullivan Show, there used to be a guy on there that was a plate spinner.
Uh-huh.
Remember the plate spinner, the guy that had.
Are you suggesting that I watched Ed Sullivan?
No, on the
they had TV, didn't they?
Yeah.
Uh-oh,
both in trouble.
they had a guy that had six or eight sticks.
Yeah.
And he kept a plate on each of them, and he'd have to run and keep all of them spinning at the
same
time.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I'll admit it.
That's okay. Well, do you remember how he ended his act?
No.
He grabbed one of the sticks. And threw them all up in the air and caught all the plates and put them
on the one stick.
On the one stick.
Wow.
That's how that was his show. Now, let me explain to you. You're asking me what my client's typical customer looks like. My typical customer has this shocked look on their face. They remember, as I said, they remember mom and dad's retirement. Each one of those plates represents something that you are spending in your financial life.
Mm-hmm.
You've got savings accounts today. We've got people come in with two or three old 401ks from different employers. They have IRAs that they opened up. They have life insurance policies. They have cancer policies. They have all these things they're trying to keep spending. And now it's coming to an end, and they go, how do I get it all on one stick?
Okay,
So what I do is, after we go through our conversation and talking, I have to compile all this, and I tell you what, I mean, I've got some people that are, we would consider very, very sharp people, but they buy on a whim.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got to go through and analyze and diagnose all of them and figure out what's going on with them.
Think about doing this. Do they come and see you like a month before they're due to retire, or it must be difficult to work it out if they leave it to the last minute.
Mm-hmm. As I said, the retirement red zone. Yeah, I prefer people coming in as soon as they can, as soon as they think about retiring, and make sure that that they know what they want, and we can start working on it.
Well, there's some that's probably going to need some guidance even way before that. You work at a company. I mean, I've done that in the past, where I've worked for a company that provided a 401k for me, and let's go even back farther than that. So maybe people that worked in factories in the area or whatever, and they had retirement already in place, and basically this was being done for them. They've not had to give a whole lot of thought to it or haven't. Giving a whole lot of thought to it.
Mm-hmm.
So really, these are people that really need to be thinking about this way ahead of time, if nothing else, getting advice on where do I start way in advance instead of waiting 5 years before I'm going to retire and then going, oh, my gosh, I'm in a mess. I can't retire.
Well, I think the the key word that, you know, Gene and I were discussing there is proactive versus reactive.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, I tell you, if you're reactive on this stuff, you're way late.
Yeah.
And anything that you can do that's proactive, I mean, I see people paying into stuff they shouldn't be paying into for the next 5 years, but they don't understand it. Well, yeah, they bought insurance policies or whatever it was in the 80s, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, everything has changed. It's everything's changed.
So, yeah. You know, and you mentioned something there, and I know from the insurance standpoint, I want to go ahead and ask you this because I think it's be relevant for our listeners, Gene.
Sure.
You know, a lot of people will buy an insurance policy 25, 30 years ago, and their life changes. Things change in life. You know, they have a $5,000 policy, we'll say, or a $10,000 policy, and they've never went back and revisited because their life continues to change. Cost of living goes up. A lot of different things have changed, and they've never went back and revisited that. So then when they're faced with an emergency, a death, something like that, they're looking and going, you know what, I don't have enough to even pay bills, medical bills. I don't have enough to do anything.
Exactly.
And 30 years ago, it was plenty.
Yeah.
And lots of times that was two wives ago for some people.
Yeah.
And they have. I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
No, the number of beneficiaries
that
are incorrect for life insurance.
Oh, you're right. So, you're right about that. You're right about
that. That happens frequently.
I always encourage people in my seminars, when you leave here today, go home and pull your life insurance policy and make sure it still meets your needs.
Do most people carry life insurance anymore? Do you find
in retirement or?
Well, no, throughout their life. I mean, it used to be something that you
everybody
almost expected to do, but I just wonder if the baby boomer generation or younger.
They're buying more and more insurance today than they were before.
Okay.
Yeah. Of course, the size of the policies are different than, you know.
Let me ask you something here. We talked about the 401k. I mentioned that a minute ago, but let's say they have a company 401k and they're looking at retiring. What do they do with something like that? I mean, do you just leave it in place? Do they draw from it, or do you roll it into something else? What happens?
All the above.
Yeah,
now,
yeah.
A lot of employers will allow you to leave your money there if that is your choice. Then there's also what we call a qualified rollover into a 401k rollover or an IRA.
Mm-hmm.
And that gives you more control over your money. You know, maybe the employer doesn't, you're not happy with the investment options there.
Right.
But I find that most people really want to control their own money.
Sure. Yeah. I think we all do.
Yeah.
I think it's something we all want to do.
Right.
My husband and I were approached, several years ago, but about getting a policy of some kind to cover long-term care.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Is that a good thing to have? I suppose it is.
Do you have an hour? Okay.
Give me 5 minutes
all right,
here.
Yeah.
the Reader's Digest version.
Yeah.
We've already touched on living longer.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Medicine is keeping us alive longer.
Yeah.
Most people think in terms of those types of policies, Gene, as nursing home policies.
Okay.
But they have evolved a lot over the years. The biggest expense that you are going to have in retirement is health care.
Yeah.
It's just just the way it's going to be.
Even with the Medicare.
You're going to have home health care. You're going to have a lot of things. You know, it keeps you out of the hospital, but yet, you still have to pay for outside services.
Sure.
And a lot of people's money up.
Oh, yeah. So the newer policies on the market today provide people with in-home health care service, assisted living care. I've been a hero to a lot of families. I mean, you know, mom sitting up here by herself and the kids live elsewhere, and when mom gets sick, you know, they move to where the kids are and they got a check coming in on their long-term care policy that takes care of everything.
Yeah.
So long-term care is a very emotional decision. It's also a financial decision.
Why would it be emotional? Surely it's just good planning, isn't
it? It's like going to see Fred and talk about financial planning.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah.
We don't really want to think about it.
That's true. It's one of those things that people don't want to think about. It it reminds us of the end.
Yeah.
To a certain extent.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And, but I unfortunately have the best example. You know, my mother laid in the nursing home for years, went through all of her money and had to put her on Medicaid. You're looking at, for skilled care, Fred, you're looking at $4,000 a month.
Absolutely, or more.
And in Huntington, you go live somewhere else, you're up at $5,000-$6,000 in the skilled side. So,
a lot of people want to not have to go to a nursing home.
Yeah.
They want to be able to stay in their own home and have help, I guess, come in. And basically, is that what a long-term care?
The newer ones? Yes, ma'am, they do.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm going to throw something out there. I love to throw out there is now a hybrid long-term care policy.
What's that?
It's a combination of long-term care and life insurance.
Oh, okay.
So I'm not going to, I'm just going to, the highlight of it is if it's a $100,000 hybrid policy that's part long-term care and part life insurance, if you need qualified skilled care or in-home care, you are allowed to draw down on your death benefit of the policy.
Okay.
So, well, I hate to say it's a win-win situation. Actually, it does. If there's money left over after the after expenses, it's paid in the form of a life insurance policy.
Okay, it's just a way of paying that out. Now, I'm going to go ahead and ask this real quick. I know we got to go to a break, but with if that being paid out like that as a life insurance policy, that's not considered an asset to those to the beneficiary, I guess you'd say.
Right.
Okay, so it's. Not taxable or
That's correct.
Okay,
good question.
So
that's a good point.
I mean, especially from a financial planning standpoint, you could put your family, in a good spot right there.
Exactly.
Hey, we're going to take just a quick break. We'll be right back with the retirement guy, Ron Bates, and you're listening to Planning for Tomorrow on Supertalk 94.1 FM and AM 930. We are back to Planning for Tomorrow. Fred Kitchen and Gene Dean here in the studio with Ron Bates, the retirement guy, and he is the owner of ZBA Financial Group in Barbersville, West Virginia. And, you know, when we left from break, we were talking about long-term care, and we were talking about the different type of insurance there. Tell us, we've got a few minutes here, Ron, and I want to kind of just go into a few things of maybe just educational, of some things that you really think would be core, nuts and bolts. Yeah. I'm sitting there now, and I'm going, you've got my attention, Ron.
Yeah, okay.
I'm listening to you, but what's really the most important thing for me to know right now?
Okay. Number one thing to remember, retirement is no longer an event.
Right.
It is a process.
Okay.
If you instill that in your mind, you say, okay, when should I start that process? You start that process the first time you think about retiring.
Okay.
You know, my wife and I are 62, and, we're really tired. We'd like to go live in Florida with the grandkids. You know, can we retire now? So it's really advantageous to, as soon as that thought crosses your mind, to sit down and talk.
So there's probably some listening today that may not, let's say that maybe my age, I'm 45, I know I look 25, Gene.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to touch that.
Yeah. But no, I mean, my age, and you're looking, you're going, I'm not even really thinking of retiring. I mean, I'm one of those mindsets, I want to work for a long time, I think, still yet. But at the same time, I want to prepare for it. I want to make sure that I'm putting some things in place now that I'm preparing for retirement. And there's got to be other people sitting out there just like me going, and there's probably some sitting there going, I haven't even thought about it.
You know, one of the other things, how I got into this business was actually working in employee benefits, working with HR directors. I would sit down with some HR directors and say, you know, these people have been with you 30 years. What do you do for them when they retire?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we sort of give them their final
four. You got some surprising answers, didn't
you? No, they get them the 401k statement, and they give them a number of their Social Security office. And employers don't want to touch investments today. Fiduciary responsibilities, they will not guide people.
You look at the companies that's not even offering any type of retirement today. I mean, that's really
it's tough.
It's kind of one of those things that we've got to do it. It's a responsibility. I'll be honest with you, from my standpoint, my age, the company,
and you do look 25.
Oh, thank you, Gene. Thank you very much. Here's this $20 bill. But, I think about it from my standpoint. The companies that I've worked for in the past, provided 401k and things like that. But I had the mindset knowing that it was up to me. It wasn't up to that company to provide that for me, And I think it's a change in mindset, because years ago we worked at the factory or whatever we did. We just expected, okay, I'm going to have retirement from there. Well, today you can't bank on that. If you're not doing it yourself and you're not planning yourself, there's a high likelihood you're not going to have anything.
Yeah, when you talk about 401ks, isn't there some age at which it's mandatory that you start taking it out?
Yeah, 70 and a half. Any money that is pre-tax money, whether it's an IRA or whatever you've done over the years, the government says you do have to start taking distributions at 70 and a half.
So when it goes into a 401k, you're not paying income tax on it, but when you start taking it out.
Right.
Yeah,
when you take it out, can you reinvest it in something else?
Mm-hmm. That's called what we call an IRA rollover. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to make a statement here switchboard will probably light up. The worst thing that's happened to this country
What?
Is 401k plans.
Really?
Yeah. What
Why?
You have? Well, let me explain.
Okay.
You took your average person who worked at the steel mill or wherever it may be, and that's what they did. Yeah, you know, mm-hmm. they know how to manufacture steel, or you know, they yeah. know how to do a job. An employer took care of them.
Right.
They took care of their retirement plan for them. Okay. They didn't have to worry about it. Now, what you've done, you have taken that person, and you've made an investor out of them.
You've put the responsibility on them.
Responsibility on that. And I have done enrollments for people on the 401k plans I've written with businesses. And the number one way that people make decisions is, how did you invest your money? They look at the person next to them.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot of things that you have to understand about investing money. And you really need to sit down with somebody and say, how do I do it?
Mm-hmm. So what you're saying is that if you have a 401k, then you get a choice of how that money is invested?
Yeah, they give you like 15 different choices on
what
different investment accounts, from you know, aggressive
companies
accounts to bond accounts and everything in between. So
you can actually sit down as the employee and pick where you want that money to go.
Uh-huh.
But you're picking it with no knowledge for the most part.
Yeah.
That's what Ron's kind of talking about.
Yeah,
that's
you
the way
know,
ours is with this company, by the way.
Well, you know, I mean, those guys do a good job, but, you know, there are so many laws that have come into play in 401k plans in the last year. I'm not going to go into them right now, but, man, it's tough out there. I mean, people come into me and say, you know, I'm going to throw one word out, two words, actually. You need to understand risk tolerance. Everything evolves around risk tolerance. I won't even talk to a person about how to invest money till I understand their risk tolerance.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, at 55, how much risk do you want? At 65, how much risk do you want? So risk is the biggest factor.
Okay, so you can be a real risk taker, or you can choose to be a real conservative.
Yeah.
That's the way I'd go.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, it's important what we're talking about here. I mean, because there's a lot of people that, you know, I mean, it's got to be tough for people trying to figure this out. And, you know, you mentioned something there, talking about the 401k. That is interesting because, you know, my dad was a factory worker, and it was provided for him. And, you know, he knew that there was going to be a certain amount there. But for me growing up, like I said just now, a few minutes ago, if I was going to have some type of retirement, I was going to have to do that myself and figure it out myself. And it was interesting. One of the companies that I worked for, I can remember going through the HR director sitting down with all of us as new employees and going, here's your new book. Here's all the information about your health insurance. Here's all the information. Oh, by the way, you need to pick out of these 12 or 15 different mutual funds or whatever you're going to do, where you want to place your money. And I'm sitting there going, well, I have no idea. And so there's about eight of us going, what would you do? Well, I don't know. What would you do? All eight of us don't know what in the world we're talking about. So we're giving each other all kinds of great, bad advice.
And then the next thing they say, if you don't understand, go to our website.
Yeah, which you
then,
can't understand.
And then you go to their website on how to plan for retirement. And I tell you what, I know a little bit about what I'm doing, but I tried to go through one of those things one day. I was more confused than Adam on Mother's Day.
That's confusing. Adam on Mother's Day. That's got to be confusing.
That's a good one.
Gene, you're used to me. Fred's not. But let me try to close with a few things here.
Okay.
Here's what people look for in retirement. You got to remember, you got this guy out here juggling all these plates, this couple out here juggling all these plates, and go, what in the world do I do with this?
Okay.
It's not your parents' retirement, as I said. You know, it ain't the gold watch anymore. It's not any of that stuff. People want three things. They want trust. Mm-hmm. Who do I trust?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Most people go to a financial person because of trust. Okay. And the second thing people want is understanding. And the third thing people want is guarantees. Now, well, I'm not allowed to use the word guarantee. Probably somebody's going to turn me in here. Some of my buddies out in the investment business.
He's not guaranteeing anything.
And I'll tell you what we mean about guarantees. What I try to do for people is I try to provide them with mailbox money. And what does mailbox money mean? Well, you get your Social Security check either in the form of a check in the mailbox, or you get a
direct deposit,
and you can go, you've got mail, and tell your all right, people want to know, how much can I get out of my money that I know is going to last me the rest of my life?
Yeah.
Because the 401k plan, Gene, is gone, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You've got a lump sum of money there. You don't have somebody sending you a check. And when that guy walks out, that person walks out of the work for the last day, You know what they leave behind? They leave behind a paycheck.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, now where's my new paycheck coming from? So what I try to do is I try to make people understand you've got to let me know how much money you want in a paycheck every month. Okay? And from that point, I try to put together a paycheck that will last for a lifetime.
Okay.
And I can't go into all that right now. But people want peace of mind in retirement.
Mm-hmm.
And how a person can do this on their own. The people can do it on their own are basically government workers, mm-hmm. State workers who still have defined benefit plans, teachers, mm-hmm. These type of people.
Mostly government employees at some level.
Yeah, and some people still have retirement plans. They'll what we call a defined benefit.
Mm-hmm.
But most people are walking out with a lump sum of cash and say, how do I manage this the rest of my life?
You know, and you mentioned something there, and you may not, I don't know, you may or may not have the answer to this. I hope I'm not throwing you on the spot, but what is the rest of my life? I mean, what is that number? I mean, if, you know, I want to get a paycheck the rest of my life.
Yeah, I didn't bring my chart, but it's pretty close to, if you're 65, you're probably going to live to be 82 or 83.
Okay.
And I've got some other statistics, you know, the number of people. If you're alive at 85, your chances of living to 100, so, yeah.
You know, it was interesting. I was flying to Jacksonville a couple weeks ago for a presentation, and I happened to be sitting beside a guy just like you on the airplane. And then
he talked that much?
I was exhausted by the time I got to Florida. I was like, good gravy, this guy must be wrong. But you know, the conversation, you know, what do you do for a living, you know, come up. And one of the things that, because I asked him, I said, what's one of the biggest challenges in this market that we're in today? What's one of the biggest challenges you run into? And he says, not necessarily a challenge, but he says, baby boomers. He brought up baby boomers again. He says, those guys have been taught to invest and been taught to have 401ks and been taught to do, you know, that's what they've done. Now they're at a point in life where they're going, how can this money last me till I die?
Mm-hmm. So the same thing.
I'm afraid I'm going to outlive my money. Mm-hmm. What the concern is,
exactly.
Because we are living longer today, and I think that's a major concern for a lot of people. Is, you know, I guess there's two sides of it. What I'm hearing here today, and that conversation I had with him was, you know, am I even going to have a retirement?
Yeah.
You know, and then the other side of it is, if I am I going to have enough money to even make it till I pass on? You know?
Fred, before we go off the air, I do want to ask Ron if he has a website.
Absolutely, tell us a little bit about that.
Basically, www.theretirementguy.com.
And how can people get a hold of you at your offices there in Barbersville if they want to get a hold of you?
304-733-1500.
All right. Ron Bates, the Retirement Guy. Sure appreciate you being along with us with ZBA.
Do it anytime, man.
TheRetirementGuy.whatever.
.com. TheRetirementGuy.com.
Okay.
Ron, it's been a pleasure having you here today, and we definitely will have you back. I think you brought a lot of good information to people.
Well, I'll tell you, thank you. And I'll tell you what, once people see my website, see how good looking I am, they will probably just...
Oh, my goodness.
You're as bad as Fred.
Now, the one picture that they did there... it took 350 snapshots for me to get that. So,
well, Gene, we are out of time. Ron, thank you so much.
Guys.
You've been listening to Planning for Tomorrow right here on Super Talk 94.1 FM and AM 930.
Super Talk 94.1 FM and AM 930, WRVC Huntington, a Kindred Communications station celebrating 20 years of local broadcasting.